In our Bible tonight, we are in Hebrews chapter 6. If you want to follow along, three verses only. A word of warning, part 1. It says in Hebrews 6:4, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Let's pray for just a moment. Heavenly Father, I pray for wisdom tonight. I pray, Lord, I would say nothing amiss. May we have our hearts in tune with you. Lord, thank you for Mrs. Stevens being willing to have the junior church tonight. Thank you for that. Be with our Super Saturday, and the Stevens family is prepared for that this coming Saturday, that we will have young people here. And tonight, next few moments, may you guide and direct my thoughts and words. May your word, as it is, always be preeminent. Lord, may we seek. Holy Spirit, please teach us this evening. May I, again, I would say nothing that is contrary to the teaching of your word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Really, is to be honest with you, it is probably, in Hebrews at least, the most controversial, misunderstood, and divisive passage in the entire book. All kinds of errors have resulted from the confusion of what is this, these verses teaching? Are they teaching the loss of salvation, etc.? Many cults have found these verses to be a big part of a pet theory they might use. As much of the enigma evaporates, I think, though, if we will, this confusion evaporates as we look the next couple Sunday evenings at these verses. What is it really talking about? Now, what's the purpose of the book of Hebrews? It is for Jewish people who have heard the gospel to not go back into Judaism. Some had a lot of professors, and some had genuinely been saved. I believe there were some who were following along but not truly born again. That would be my personal belief, is what he's talking about here. Professing Jews, both saved and both unsaved. The writer is trying to prevent, I believe, them from going back into Judaism, because this is a better way. And this is a parenthetical warning passage, if you want to call it that in a way. A word of warning for them. Do not go back. The Old Testament to them probably looked quite attractive if you've been following the Christ. But we've had all this tradition. We've got the temple. We've got this, this, and this. And we've got all this going for us. Why would we want to follow an itinerant prophet who was killed on the cross? And so they were struggling with that. Don't go back. It is a better way. We have a better Savior, a better Christ, a better way, a better covenant. And so what would happen here, he's saying, I believe, there's going to be a point, again, my personal viewpoint is that there's going to be possibly a point in time where you cross God's final deadline and you are going to make a decision that's irreversible, irrevocable mistake of going back and missing the truth of the gospel. Again, there's going to be a lot of differing opinions. I'm going to give you the two primary views. There are some men who have four views, Alex Smith has four separate views of what this, who this is talking about. I will set at the onset, I will tell you that these way it is worded here has never applied to salvation in Scripture. The wordings we have in 4 and 5 are never accompanying redemption. And so we have to do a little bit of assuming, if we read it tonight, we'll read it in a few moments, without presuppositions of what we think it already means, that might help us as well. So this is a parenthetical section. The writer's stopping to show showing the superiority of the new over the old and say, listen, just a moment. Listen, you be careful, because you may make a decision to go back into Judaism and may never ever really have a chance, opportunity to repent again. Now the verse that really jumps out is verse 6. If they shall fall away. Now those are a favorite phrase of the theory that the person can truly be saved, then lose all and be eternally lost. That just speaks of apostasy, yes. Someone is, I think, is indisputable. They're falling away from the truth of the gospel. But is it talking about being saved, born again, children of God? Definitely not, says Robert Sumner, and I would agree. I don't think, well, the principle is this: I believe in the eternal security of the believer. If you truly trusted Christ as Savior, you are kept by His hand, and you are saved once and for all. And they call that, oh, you always believe, once saved, always saved, or once in grace, always in grace. Well, yes, if you're truly born again, I believe that. So we know, in my thinking then, from what Scripture has clearly said in other passages, they can't be saying, in my thinking again, that these persons were truly born again, then lost salvation. And by the way, again, the wording is not really saying that they were redeemed. I believe it refers to those who profess to be saved, and we have them in our churches today, these words, but I fear those hearts have been alienated from the true God, and they are still in their trespasses and sins. That's why every Sunday morning, with Zacchaeus' message, I really want folks to know that you need to be saved, truly born again. And in America, if you can't wake up and realize we are in the confines of judgment upon our country, it is time for us to wake up. F.F. Bruce says, people are frequently immunized against by a disease by being inoculated with a mild form of it or with a related but milder disease. In the spiritual realm, experience suggests that it's possible to be immunized against Christianity by being inoculated with something which for the time being looks like the real thing, but it is generally mistaken for it. I think there's a lot of people who've been inoculated with a Christianity light. That is not really the Christianity of the Bible. That you can somehow just add this on and that you don't have to make Christ Lord of all. He is the Lord. If you're really going to be, He is your Lord and Savior and Master, and He is that for now, for eternity. He's that. MacArthur says, people can go to church for years and hear the gospel over and over again, even by faithful church members, and never really make a commitment to Jesus Christ. That kind of person is addressed here. Persistent rejection of Christ may result in such persons passing the point of no return spiritually, of losing forever the opportunity of salvation. He eventually follows his evil heart of unbelief and turns his back forever on the living God. And I think there are those who have heard the gospel over and over. Mr. and Mrs. Hickman lived by a gentleman right over across the fence. Mr. Maynard, I've talked to him. I believe he was one of the two people I've ever met that had passed the point of truly getting saved, because I would talk with him and he would go every Sunday morning. He was in church every Sunday morning, but he just, I can't do it. I don't know. But there are, I believe, really people who'd cross that line. And why do Pastor Tim, you read from the same commentators? I've got a few commentary books that I use over and over and over, and that's why I read them. There's not a lot of commentaries that you can trust anymore. And so the ones I can trust, Phillips and Butler and MacArthur and a couple more, those are the ones I use, Wiersbe, etc., and Robert Sumner. I use those because they're trustworthy. I use the Henry Moore Study Bible because it's trustworthy. It's a person who I'm on the same page with. Listen, you believe in the literal bodily resurrection of Christ. You're in a minority in the churches today. I'm telling you, you're a minority. I'm a minority. Oh, that was not politically correct, was it? I cannot be a minority. I know that. But I am a minority, spiritually speaking, and so are you, if you truly believe what the Bible says. But hang in there. In the end, can you imagine? Well, Lord, I didn't really believe what your Bible said. You didn't. I thought I knew better. Or do you want to say, Lord, I held tight to what your Bible said. I still believe it's wrong to do that. I still believe it's wrong. I still believe it's right to do that. Well done. Right? That's what we're longing to hear. One man says this: some are enlightened as to the truth, or even stirred by it, but yet do not embrace it within their hearts. They may profess to be a Christian, but they do not have saving faith. These were never Christians. They were those who had ample opportunity to become children of God in Christ through faith, who even profess to be converted, but they have turned away to their condemnation. End of quote. So there are two views. Again, I'm giving the two primary views. There are others who would give you a whole lot of wrath. I don't want to say wrath, but several other views. Let us read our text again without knowing or thinking we already understand what it says. You probably already have your mind made up. And that is, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, Doesn't it say truly born again? And have tasted of the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God, and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. So first of all, I do have an outline. It is spiritual condition number one. Spiritual condition. The first question I think we must solve is, were the people about whom the apostle professing to be Christian Jews, were they saved or unsaved? Were they saved or unsaved? They were either one or the other. And on that correct answer depends the interpretation. There are, first of all, those who assert that these people had been saved, but then they had fallen away. They had backslid. Now, it is possible for a Christian to backslide. I understand that. Matter of fact, it was Adrian Rogers says, if you're not going forward in your Christian walk right now, you're backsliding. So he was very pointed, and he was a Southern Baptist, but he was a great pulpiteer. Wow, he was one of the best I've ever heard. Got to see him in person. My wife and I had a picture taken with he and his wife several years ago, and he could preach it, and he was a soul winner. He really, really was. And he said, we find that you can backslide as a Christian, but this is a person truly comes to Christ as Savior and repents, and they're saying that you were on their way to heaven, and now they are not. If you say that, it's bad news, because it says it is impossible for those who are, it's impossible for them to ever be saved then. If you're on the bandwagon of falling from grace, although you were saved, but you can lose what God has given you. If you're on that bandwagon, then you're toast after this. I say it that way, but it's impossible. It says here, impossible, if that's your mindset, impossible for them to ever be renewed. But what is it? Renewed to what? Again, unto repentance. It doesn't say renewed again unto saving faith. So be careful how we read it. We assume that these words are synonymous at times. You have to assume that repentance is synonymous. So there we are. That's view number one. The second view is this. The opposing view is that these folks who were once enlightened and were partakers of the Holy Ghost were not truly saved at all and never had been saved. They are said to be Hebrew professors who had made an outward confession of faith, but they're never born again. I think we will see in America, if it continues the direction, there'll be a plethora of those who have been attending churches. I think some have already dropped by the wayside. I think COVID, some will never come back to church because of COVID. Now, I know there are some who are still waiting because of health issues. I understand that. But I believe there's going to be thousands and thousands of people who never... It's easy to get out of the habit. Now, I'm not sure how to get out of the habit of drinking Diet Mountain Dew. I need to do that probably. But that habit just sticks with me. But I guess I took water for maybe a month. Maybe I could get over it. I don't want to do it. But maybe I could get out of that habit. But I think they've got out of the habit of coming to church. Again, there are some, I know, of our church who are still waiting for different things to clear up yet. But there are some across even Greenup and Boyd counties, Sado counties, Adams County, that have, I think they're done with church pretty much. They may not know it yet. But this view is that those who believe in eternal security, I believe if you're truly born again, Christ has saved you, He keeps you, and the Bible is replete with verses that tell us that we are safe and secure, not because we are grandiose or something special, but because He is. His grace still amazes me that He would do that for us. So that's a spiritual condition. Two primary views. One, it refers to believers who lose their salvation. Second, it refers to people who profess to know Christ as Savior, but did not, do not, and they are not truly born again. Second is then a serious consideration. Unusual. Point one's already done. Two, serious consideration. Now, there are two summarized views again, held by Bible students. By the way, what is the best commentary on this? This. The best commentary ever on the Bible is the Bible. What does the Bible say here about that? Well, let's go to another passage and find that. So first we must notice that if this passage teaches that a man can be saved today and backslide and lose his salvation tomorrow, he can never what? He can never be saved. But there are a lot of people who have come close to go back and eventually come to know Christ as personal Savior. It says though, it's impossible to renew them again into repentance. It's impossible. And a person can only be saved once. If he loses that, there's no more hope. So if someone says, "Well, I've lost my salvation," and they come and say, "Well, I want to be saved again." Well, I'm sorry. If you're believing this, what it says right here, it is impossible for those. So that's a difficulty with that view and standpoint. Because if you believe that you lose your salvation in this passage, then you cannot invite them. Well, you can never be saved again. You're done. So that's a difficulty there. And matter of fact, really, if you believe that it talks about those who are not really saved, what are you going to do with that? If they're not really saved and they say, "I'm going to walk away," then it says there that it's impossible for them also. So that's why I say, I believe personally, this is for those who make it the one decision. The Pharisees had made such a decision in their lifetime. We're going to reject Christ. No matter what he does, no matter what he is, we've turned away against him. And there are those who are going to say, "You know what? I think there's some in America who have absolutely denied Christ so long that they have gone beyond." You should listen to Smith's, I think it's probably on sermon audio, God's Three Deadlines. You should listen to that very, very, but God has, will turn. His patience is only so long. So a person says, comes to Christ and says, I was once saved but fell in the way and I want to be saved again. So, well, I'm sorry, you cannot do that. If you believe this, so go away, just go away. So in order to be consistent. Now, the view of the school of interpretation is concisely stated by the Scofield Bible. We find, if you believe it, it speaks of Jewish people who were not truly born again but professed to be so. He says, the case of Jewish professed believers who halt short of faith in Christ after advancing to the very threshold of salvation, even going along with the Holy Spirit in his work of enlightenment and conviction, it is not said that they had faith. That's what Scofield says. It is argued that professors who pose as believers and yet not professors. And 6:4-8 teaches that a man who can be once saved and then lost, he can never then repent and be saved again. Someone has said you have a through pass to perdition in this passage. So let's consider then what that means. And so that is scriptural conclusion, a spiritual condition, a serious consideration, as we're turning to Matthew 7 now, a scriptural conclusion. Now, don't think of conclusion as I'm concluding the message, but just a scriptural. Man, look at the time. It's 12:70. Woohoo! Don't get too excited. Matthew chapter 7. Is it possible then to act saved while being in truth without Christ? Is it possible to act saved while being in truth without Christ? Yes. Not everyone, Matthew 7:21. Now everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven, many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, in thy name done many wonderful works. We looked the part. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. They had preached in Christ's name. They had cast out devils. They had performed miracles. Yet they never. And I'm not saying, I'm not giving any credence to those miracle workers on TV. Miracle workers that throw the Holy Spirit on people and kick people in the stomach and all. That's a black mark on Christianity. On fake Christianity. That's even a black mark on fake Christianity. Never, ever, ever would the God of the Bible sanction such crazy that you have the ability to throw the Spirit. How blasphemous it is. And by the way, the Spirit never promotes himself. He does one thing. He promotes the Christ. He's not about promoting himself. And we perhaps are a little bit too not quiet. We're probably a little too quiet about the Spirit's great ministry. But there are those who are way out in left field about that. So this person said, I did all these things, but I never knew you, Christ says. Judas Iscariot. What an illustration. Ironside has a book called Except Ye Repent, a special chapter about Judas. It's called Hopeless Repentance. Judas had, the picture of perfect. I mean, he was carrying the purse for the disciples.
Roger Nicole notes of him says, to the very last, he was indistinguishable from the true apostles. And remember when he got up and went out, he said, no one said, oh, I can't believe Judas. But no, it's like, what's he going out? He must be doing, must be getting some more, buying some bread or something like that. I don't know if it's the exact thing, but it wasn't like, they're like, well, I know it couldn't be Judas because he's such a good person. Who is it then? Is it me? So he was up to the very end. He was promoting Christianity while living something else. He walked and talked literally with the living Son of God, saw miracles, lived with him or worked with him for 3.5 years. He listened to the sermons and discourses and saw all these things. And he was the treasurer of the Lord's church, if you would. But he never experienced the inward washing of the Holy Spirit, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. I don't see in Hebrews, which my Bible is, in Hebrews, the washing of regeneration or renewing of the Holy Ghost in repentance. I don't see that part of those three verses. So I don't think they were truly born again. Do you remember John in 1 John? Let's turn over there, please. 1 John 2:18 and 19. Very familiar verses. John would sort of give a kindred testimony. 1 John 2:18 and 19. 1 John 2:18. Little children, it is the last time, as ye have heard, the Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Very clearly. And someone said, in short, the test of daily reality revealed the sheep from the goats. The daily reality. How are you living tomorrow? How are you living tonight on the way home? How are you living this week? How are you going to treat your wife? How are you going to treat your children? How are you going to treat... I want to say your cats, but I have one less cat in our house now. It's a sad day yesterday for the Wright household. And I'm glad that my mom does not know... that her cat crossed the bridge yesterday. And so I would not say much about it. Didn't put it on Facebook. But it's a sad day. And you have pets, you know that. Even though I complained about her a lot. And she was worthy of complaining about. If my mom knew about it, she'd be so. So if you talk to my mom, or she calls you, she called my wife today for the first time in months. If she happens to call you, she has your number. Please don't tell her about puddings. Please don't tell her. We're not telling her about that. So I'm just going to start. There's five descriptions of unsaved professors. Back over here to Hebrews. Is it possible to make a profession without truly having a possession? Yes, we're going to see people like that stand at the great white throne judgment. As you're turning back to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4. One man says this, carefully notice how the scripture before us guards us from confounding light and power with life. Not a word implies that these that fell away were ever quickened in Christ or sealed with the Spirit or baptized in His energy into the one body. It is simply the case of disciples walking no more with Christ, stumbling at the truth or its consequences. And I wrote down John 6:66. John 6:66. Believe it or not, John 6:66 says this, for that time many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. Many of His what? Disciples walked back and firm and did not follow Him anymore. They were the ones making the profession outward. Oh, the Christ, we want to follow Him. He's not going to be a king. Oh, really? I don't think I want part of that. I want a king who's going to overthrow the Roman Empire. We're not going to do that. I don't want any part of that. We're going to see it in America soon where there have been several on different bandwagons. When reality hits, they're going to realize that it was a false narrative. There's some who are going to continue on and try to keep the narrative going, but they're going to, you know what? The people who stood by the stuff and followed God's word and did what God would have them to do, you know, they were right. There'll be a few like that. There'll be most of them probably continue on their merry way. But there will, the end, by the way, the end will come. God does not set all accounts in October at harvest time. Vine says of this, these acts would be true in regard to all those Hebrews who had been influenced by the testimony and power of the gospel, but they had not done more than make a profession of faith. And they were inclined to return to Judaism, the power of which remained very strong among the people. There's nothing in the details of 4 and 5, but what could take place in the experience of one who was drawn to Christianity without being born again and becoming possessed of eternal life, to be enlightened comes short of conversion. The taste of the heavenly gift is far short of receiving it in its fullness. To be a partaker of the Holy Spirit is not becoming indwelt by Him through the faith in Christ. You may go to Planet Fitness and I look at my paunchy, chubby tummy, fat tummy, that's again what it is, fat tummy here, and I want to go to Planet Fitness and I want to get back in shape. I would like to do that. I walk right on by and live my life and drink my Diet Mountain Dew and eat my, those little dark Dove chocolate squares. I have learned, man, they're only 40 calories each. And my wife, I made me a little downstairs in the basement, a little study place down there. And she gave me a little table and said, there's a surprise for you in the drawer. And I pulled it out. And there's a whole bag of those things down there. And I still have some of them. So if you come downstairs at our house, that little white cabinet thing, it's off limits. It's off limits. You can't open the drawer. There's nothing in there that you would like. So stay out. So the first S, I think we're only going to get through one, looks like, is sight. Back in chapter 6, verse 4, these now are five-fold description of unsaved professors of Christ. Verse 4, it is impossible for those who were once enlightened. Enlightened there is the intellectual perception of spiritual biblical truth to give light by knowledge or teaching and mentally aware of something. They had their eyes opened. I walked by Planet Fitness and I saw some machines that could get this fat run off me and I could get and feel better about myself and probably gain some more muscle tone. And some of those really big guys at the work said, you got muscles in there, Tim? I said, all I got in there is FL flab. That's all in there. There's no muscles in there at all. I'm just flab in there. I saw that. I saw what needs to be done, but I'm not going to get to work to that. My goodness gracious, I'm almost 59 years old. I'm not going to start doing all those things. I would hurt more things than I would help, most likely. To which we all said, amen to that. The enlightened means, in all these places, the senses, to bring to light or to cast light upon implies taught by the preaching of the Word of God. How many people across Greenup County today heard the gospel and gospel preaching churches like ours and Pastor Ball's and other churches, Pastor Melvin, etc., heard the gospel preached and yet said, oh, I'm not ready yet. I know what needs to be done. I just don't want to give up my life. We had some likely today in our church this morning. We might have somebody tonight who's heard the gospel over and over, but I'm not ready yet. I like my life like it is. You never really truly experienced the life that Christ brings. But they see what needs to be done. In short, they had received the light of the truth and they had been illuminated by the gospel. The eyes of their understanding had been opened. They said, you know, this Christ, He did exactly as He said. He was crucified, was buried, and He rose again. I mean, the world knows He was raised from the dead. Even Agrippa, King Agrippa, almost became a Christian. So, it is true, the Judaism, I love the temple and the blowing of the horns and the offering of stuff. I'm doing something to earn it. Now, I'm supposed to just trust? I don't know. I see the gym and I see what I could look like. Yeah, it's a lot of work. I don't know. I think I'll go back home and eat some more of the Dove dark chocolate squares. I think that's what I'll do. I don't mean to be facetious, but that is likely what they were facing. The word translated there, if you're looking still in our text and you haven't gone to sleep yet, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, once and for all, indicating the process needs not or admits not repetition. If once in the sense of occasion had been meant, the Greek word pote would have been used. However, hapax is a same word used later on in the book to describe. If you look in 9:26, here's the same word, 9:26 and 9:27 and 12:26. 9:26, we're just about done. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. It was just once. He died. There's no need to crucify Christ again. Same word. And it is appointed unto men what?
once to die. You die but once. You're not reincarnated as some really good person or a green silkworm or a raging hyena on the desert or something else or some wonderfully articulate giraffe in Africa. It's but once. That's it. And once you pass from this life, it's appointed unto man once to die. And after this, what? The judgment. You're going to be held accountable for what you did in this one life. And that we see people who are so confused about who they are, and they're going to waste their entire life trying to figure out in their own identity about who they are, when God says clearly there's something special to Him. And He made them a certain way, and that's who they really are. And when they try to change that, they're going to miss their entire life. And you just have but one life. Just have but one. And again, I close with this statement. None of the normal New Testament terminology for salvation is used in these passages. In fact, no term used here is ever used elsewhere in the New Testament for salvation. And none should be taken to refer to it in this passage. Simply put, I believe clearly these were Jewish people who had heard the news and they had listened to the gospel and they had walked by the gym and saw the people working out and the muscle-bound people in there and the people were losing weight. Man, I like that. But I'm going to go back to my Dove chocolate. I see the Christ, and I've heard about Him, and I believe He's probably real. And the Word of God, I was even moved by it. But I'm going to go back to Judaism. And He's saying, listen, do not do it. I tell you tonight, don't go backwards in your Christian walk. Do not do it. Do not do it. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You tonight for Your love for us. You have been so merciful, kind, generous. Lord, You ask us to live by faith. You ask us to trust You that Your way is the best way, and it is. Lord, of all the ways for people to be saved in this life, You chose to come to die. That was the best way. So Lord, may we never put our way above Yours. May we live by faith this week, that whatever comes into our lives, as we are walking with You, You have allowed, and You want us to learn from it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In closing, please grab a hymn book. One of my favorite songs in our hymn book is Living by Faith, 547. 547. Would you grab a hymn book there, please? We'll stand together.